You know that you can go on TV to the Nut Channel. I call the Nut Channel Channel 14. This is where you have an abundance of false teachers and a few good teachers. And these are the ones that are bouncing off the wall. Get the organ cranked up and the music cranked up. And people look at that and they say, that's plastic. That's fake. If that's what it takes to be a Christian, then I don't want any part of it. People can see through the hypocrisy and the silly things that they come up with. So I think people are cynical and they just don't want to go there. But the most fundamental issue that we all must address is this. What happens after we die? What timing? That's my first PowerPoint. Thank you. Isn't that something? I think the Lord is working in my behalf today. So, that's the most fundamental issue that we address is what happens after you die. This very brief time that we're on earth is just, boom, it's a vapor. It's here and it's gone. And the older you get, the more you realize that. Is that not true? Very true. Time is just... And I think everybody, at some point in time, at least thinks about this. So there are some basic questions that we have to address. And by the way, I'm going to tell you now, I have everything that I'm giving to you, the notes here that I'm going to put out in the back after this is over. You can take notes if you want to, but I have them in print where you can get those. What I want you to really do is listen. Take notes if you want to, but we do have them, and we will have them in the back. So the first basic question is heaven real? Is it a literal place? And if so, how do I get there? Basic. The next question is hell real? Is it a literal place? And if so, how do I avoid going there? Third basic question, is God real? Does He really exist? And if so, what is He like and how can I get to know Him? The fourth basic question, is Jesus Christ real? Is He who He says He is? And if so, what does that mean for me? Four of the most basic questions that you will ever have to deal with. Now your answers to these questions determine what you will think, what will happen to you after you die. So those four questions will determine in your mind what will happen to you after you die. So these are very important. We're talking about eternity, your destiny. Now, an atheist says no to all the four basic questions. There's no heaven, there is no hell. God doesn't exist, and Jesus Christ isn't real. The Buddhist answers no to all four questions. Here's a quote from The Kingdom of the Cults by Walter Martin regarding Buddhists. Quote, Zen Buddhism has no god to worship, no ceremonial rites to observe, no future abode to which the dead are destined, and last of all, a Zen believes there is no soul. So, we'd have to say no to all four questions. The Hindu answers no, that there is no heaven, and no, there is no hell. And one reason they believe that is because they believe in reincarnation. You're just recycled, is all. And depending upon how you live your life while you are here on earth at any given time, and then you die, it will be determined by how good you were and your works. In fact, Buddhists believe that even your skin color is determined by how you lived your life in the prior life. And the darker your skin color, the worse you were, and so you have to pay for the way that you lived before. And when also Buddhists believe that there should be no charity, there should be no forgiveness, there shouldn't be any of these type of things, and those that are prosperous and rich, they don't share it with others because those people are paying for how they lived in their previous life. It's bizarre. But anyway, they would say yes to number three. They do believe in a God. It's not the God that we believe in. So that's where they are in those four questions. Now, the Muslim would say yes to one, two, and three. Yes, there is a heaven. Yes, there is a hell. And yes, there is a God. But they would say no to number four regarding Jesus Christ. They reject Jesus Christ as being the Son of God. They reject the idea that Christ went to the cross. They just are negative on those. And then we have the Jew. That's Judaism says yes to one, two, and three, but no to four. They said yes, there is a heaven. Yes, there is a hell. Yes, there is a God, but no, Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, and He is not living today. He wasn't resurrected from the grave and so forth. And then we have Christians. The Christian says yes to all four basic questions. United States in 2001, these are figures that we have with regards to the percentage of, I guess you could say, what would be published as religions. In 2001 in the United States, 78.5% were Christians. It's Christianity. This broke it down to 51% were Protestant, 24% Catholic. And for some reason, they put the LDL, the Latter-day Saints, Mormonism, 1.7%. 15% had no religious affiliation at all. And this is significantly less than in Britain. Britain has really fallen off the wagon. 44% there have no religious affiliation. And in Sweden, it's nearly 70%. 69% of the Swedes have no religious affiliation whatsoever. Then you have 7% Islam, 6% Buddhist, and 4% Hindu. And here are some other religions that are found here. Native American spirituality, New Age spirituality, Sikhism, Jainism, Shintoism, Taoism, Neo-Paganism, Confucianism, Heathenism, and the Baha'i Faith. I updated this, but evidently I didn't get it onto my pen drive here. There's also Scientology, Zoroastrianism. I mean, they go on and on. Here is a pie chart of what religions in worldwide look like as far as percentages go. It says 33% are Christian, but this is including Catholic, Protestant, Eastern Orthodox, Pentecostal, and Anglican, Monophysite, AICs, Latter-day Saints, Evangelical, SDAs, Jehovah's Witnesses, Quakers, AOG, Nominal, etc. Now all that is saying, out of that 33%, there would be a little bitty wedge that would be true Christians that believe faith alone in Christ alone. 21% is Islam. That's both Shiite and Sunni. Then you have Hinduism, 14%. Chinese traditional, 6%. Buddhism, 6%. Judaism, 22%. That's 0.22%. Sikhism, 0.36%. And then you have the non-religious who are agnostic, atheist, secular humanist, plus
people answering none are no religion with regards to their preference. Half of this group is theistic but non-religious. So there you have at least a idea or a span of what people believe. Now it's easy to understand why so many people are confused and have either the wrong answers to the questions that I pose, those four fundamental questions. And so many think that it's impossible to know the answers to those questions. But the great majority, I think, believes that. And that's one reason that Randy Pausch and his last lecture was so important and resonated with the people so much, because he didn't go there. He just didn't even address that issue. So I think people come to the conclusion, well, why should I pursue this idea of what happens after death? Because there are theologians that don't agree on this. There is such a wide spectrum of beliefs. How am I to know what the truth really is? And that brings me to my first major premise in this fundamentals, and it is this. We can know the answers to these basic questions. We can know them. But the question now is how. I've got to get rid of this. Y'all bear with me for just a minute. Okay, I thought I had this on PowerPoint, but I don't. Okay, this is how you can know the answer to those questions. In fact, maybe I should start by saying, how can anyone know the answers to these questions? And there's four basic ways to know something. The first one is empiricism. Empiricism has to do with gaining information from observation from our five senses. And most people, you put such a big value on seeing. You've heard the term before, seeing is believing. Well, if you watch some of these magic shows, it'll make you wonder whether that's a true statement or not. They have magicians that can make an elephant disappear. Only now they have these shows that give you the information how they do that. Have you ever seen those? So the first way that we can know something is through what God gave us as far as our five senses. The second one is rationalism. Rationalism is when we acquire knowledge by our ability to reason or to speculate. Rationalism is really saying reality is what you think. The third way of knowing something is mysticism. Mysticism is knowledge acquired from hearing and believing legend, or direct experience. Direct experience would be from demons or from intuition. Some people allege that they get knowledge intuitively. It's just there. The last one is revelation. Revelation is when we acquire knowledge from God through His creation, through His Word, and through Jesus Christ. So God has revealed Himself in these ways. Through creation, through His Word, and through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ revealed God. Unfortunately, most people have opted for one of the first three of those ways of acquiring knowledge, or a combination of those. And the result has been devastating. Now I'm going to be juggling some things here, and I hope that it works okay. There was something, maybe probably some of you have seen the YouTube on the new church that has millions watching it. It has to do with Oprah. I was going to download that to my computer and show it to you, but I don't have the technology to know how to do that. But I did the second best thing, and that was I taped it, so I have a tape recorder, and I'm going to play what was on YouTube, and I have a PowerPoint up here that is going to show you, for the most part, what was on that YouTube clip. So I'm going to be juggling several things here, and we'll see how this works. Is this turned on? Okay.
Have you heard about the largest church in the world? The first service was March 3rd, 2008, with an attendance of over 300,000. The attendance is now over 2 million, and they conducted the first ever mass trance on March 17, 2008. What do they teach? Who you are requires no belief. Heaven is not a location, but refers to the inner realm of consciousness. The man on the cross is an archetypal image. He is every man and every woman. The Leader's website teaches these essence.
Okay, he went through that pretty fast, so I'm going to show you what he was saying and make a comment here or there. The first service of this church was March the 3rd, 2008, and the attendance was over 300,000. Oh, I need to get this in my other mode here. There. Okay. Attendance now is over 2 million. And what do they teach? Who you are requires no belief. Y'all see anything wrong with that? That's a faith statement. It's self-contradictory. So, that makes no sense. Heaven is not a location. Well, that was one of our basic questions. Is heaven real? Is it a location? And they say, no, it's not a location. What they think is that it's really a mental attitude. It's what you think. It's up here. That's what heaven is. If that's the case, can heaven be eternal? No, your mental attitude changes, so it doesn't make it eternal. Says, but the inner realm of consciousness, that's where heaven really is. It's not a literal place. Then he said, the man on the cross is an archetypal image. He is every man and he is every woman. So, what is an archetypal image? What this is saying is it's suggesting that Jesus Christ was not historical, that there really wasn't a man that was the Son of God that walked the earth, that went to the cross, was buried and resurrected. He's just an image. And he is every man and every woman. Now, he said the Leader's website teaches these lessons. In other words, he's saying that this website, and now there, I heard that there's up to 7 million people now that tune in. That they, at one point, the 300,000 were in a trance in while this was going on. Is it?
My mind is part of God's. I am very holy. My holiness is my salvation. My salvation comes from me. Let me remember that there is no sin. Do not make the pathetic error of, quote, clinging to the old rugged cross, unquote.
These are some more. I have these here. My mind is part of God's. I am very holy. My holiness is my salvation. Who's that leaving out? Jesus Christ. My salvation comes from me. Let me remember there is no sin. Now, I see the looks on your face, and you're grimacing. I'm glad to see that. But see, most of you here have a framework. You have some a background with regards to what the Bible has to say about these issues. And so you recognize that these are fallacious lies. And yet, most people don't have that background. They're stumbling, bumbling around, trying to figure it all out, trying to get answers to these questions. And when someone with the charisma and the fame of Oprah Winfrey, which has tremendous impact, I think that she probably has more influence than any of the current presidential candidates. I mean, she speaks, by the way, a lot of this comes from a guy named Eric Tolle. I think that's his first name. Anyway, he wrote a book, and whenever she endorses a book, boom, it goes right to the top on the New York bestsellers list. And she, in a few moments, she's going to be talking to this guy. You can't believe what this conversation is all about. Now, I'm not just trying to rain on Oprah's parade. She's done a lot of good. In fact, she's got a TV show about, what is it, the big giveaway, or how much money you can give and what you can do for all these people. All this is fine. But that's just a shill. It's just a mask. Because she endorses, in fact, in a few moments, you're going to hear her say that there's many ways to heaven and that Jesus Christ is not the only way. And I'm telling you, I don't care what all the good she has done, she has crossed the line. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know this. I know that she's not so big that God can't bring her down. He's done it before to a lot bigger people than her. I'm not wishing this on her. I would hope that she would recognize that she is in drastic error and recant these blasphemies that she is on board with, this nut guy from... I don't like to disparage people's looks, but this guy looks like the guy on Alfred E. Newman on Mad Mac Magazine. You youngsters don't remember that, but some of the other ones do. And it just adds to my ire when I see him. I saw the clip and some of the things he says. Do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. That was another one there, genealogies.
The only message of the crucifixion is that you can overcome the cross. Have you heard of this church?
Here's the next one. The only message of the crucifixion is that you can overcome the cross. So the cross isn't something you cling to and that you put your eternal destiny based on Jesus Christ paying for your sins on the cross. It's not something that is a life preserver. It's something that you must overcome. I hope you realize the blasphemy in these statements.
A religious leader, years ago, she denied Jesus as the only way.
One of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live, and that we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be a human being, and many ways, for many paths to what you call God.
Well, this is in the form where it's on one of her shows, and she's getting feedback from the audience. There's some people, that's what you're hearing, and people in the audience that's responding to what she's saying.
Her path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
This is one of the oldest lies there is, and that is, we're all going to the same place, we just take different paths to get there.
And the danger that could be in that, I mean, it sounds great on the onset, but if you really look at both sides,
it could possibly be just one way. What about Jesus?
That was Oprah saying it couldn't possibly be just one way. And then the lady said, well, what about Jesus?
What about Jesus? You say there isn't only one way.
Well, there is one way and only one way, and that is Jesus.
You hear that? That was a believer in the audience.
today, sir.
You couldn't hear that partly. She said it couldn't. That was Oprah saying it couldn't possibly be one way. That was just an exchange in the audience.
Yes, transferring the means of adoring fans over to New Age doctrine. Christians are letting this into their homes and are feeding the seed.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to week number 3 of our New Earth web class. And again, I thank you. Eckhart Tolle thank you.
Eckhart Tolle, that's his name.
We bring students and speakers together to discuss our latest book club selection. Eckhart Tolle's a new discipline thesis that was unprecedented. He said he's never been done before. I'm telling you, what he just sit there in silence. And I thought a lot of people responded to the sense of connection from that. So what do you not think?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
So you're going to live in silence.
Did you hear that? She's talking to Eckhart Tolle, which is this author. And she was talking about him being silent. And she said, can we do that again? She said, will you lead me? Will you lead us in silence? I've never heard that before. Have you? How do you lead someone in silence? What I've learned from this is not by being silent. Because the guy that's going to lead you in silence starts talking. I wish that he didn't, but he did. So here it is.
Simply become aware that you are breathing.
Simply become aware that you are breathing.
Air flows in and out as you feel yourself breathing. Air flows in and out of the body.
And reading books such as Tolle, it's really opened my eyes up.
Now this is a woman. This is a Christian woman, and I might add a confused Christian woman, and she's directing a question or a comment to this Tolle fellow.
New way of thinking, a new form of spirituality that doesn't always align with the teachings of Christianity. So my question is to you, Oprah, how have you reconciled these spiritual teachings with your Christian beliefs?
Good question, wasn't it? Did you hear it? She said, how do you reconcile these ideas and this ideology you have with your Christian beliefs? Now, Oprah's going to answer that question.
So, because I was able to open my mind about the absolute indescribable hugeness of that which we call God. I put God out of the box because I grew up in the Baptist church and there were, rules and, beliefs of Christians and doctrine. And I happened to be sitting in church in my late 20s and I was going to this church where you had to get there at, 8 o'clock in the morning or you couldn't get a feed and a very charismatic minister and everybody was just, into the sermon. And this great minister was preaching about how great God was and how omniscient and omnipresent and God is everything. And then he said, and the Lord our God is a jealous God. And I was, caught up in the rapture of that moment. I started to get jealous. And something struck me. This guy was I think about 27 or 28. I was thinking, God is all, God is omnipresent, God is all. And God's also jealous. Jealous of me, and something about that didn't feel right in my spirit because I believe that God is love and that God is in all things.
Just in case that you're wondering yourself about the verse that says that God is jealous, that's called an anthropopathos, describing to God a human characteristic that he doesn't have in order for us to understand. It's the language of accommodation. Maybe if someone had taught her that, she wouldn't have gone off on a tangent, but who knows?
And so that's when the search for something more than doctrine.
Did you hear that? God is, I missed that. She was saying this a while ago, and she did say that God is in all things. That's pantheism. The search for something more than doctrine. Let me tell you something, folks. When you start searching for something more than doctrine, you're on the wrong path. It's essentially to say that God's Word is not sufficient. And we just learned in 2 Peter that He has given us all things that are necessary for life and godliness. More than doctrine, that's what one of her errors.
Starting to stir within me. And I love this quote that Eckhart has. This is one of my favorite quotes in chapter 1, where he says, "Man made God in his own image. The eternal, the infinite, and unnameable was reduced to a mental idol that he had to believe in and worship as my God or our God."
Jesus says, "You are the life of the world. You are the consciousness in which the world is seen."
So you believe what happens to us at death when the body dies?
I don't give it any thought.
Do you hear that? She asked him the question. What do you think happens after... Well, I think I have it here. What do you think happens to us at death when the body dies? That was her question. And he says, "I don't give it any thought." How insightful. How brilliant. That's where people are today, folks. They have thrown up their hands. They essentially have given up. They don't think anybody can know anything. And so they strive not to think about it. That's why this Randy Pausch story was so famously received, is because he talked about things that were uplifting and things that were good, but he left out the most important part. And that is what happens after you die. And this guy just said, "I don't think about it." And I think there's a lot of people out there that are striving not to think about it. Let's see if I have the right thing here. Yeah, here you go. If no one can know what happens after death and you can't do anything about it, why think about it? And that's where most people are. What was my number one major premise? Do y'all remember? My major premise, the first one, is that you can know the answers to those questions. You can know the truth. But this guy that is so brilliant, when she asked him this most fundamental question, he just says, "Oh, well, I just don't think about it." And she just, "Isn't that wonderful?" And I wish you could see her as she was responding to this.
Now, God, in the essence of all consciousness, isn't something to believe God is.
Did you hear that? God, in the essence of all consciousness, is not something to believe. God is. Not something to believe, just God is.
Yes, God is. And God is a feeling experience, not a believing experience.
Yeah. Did you hear that? God is a feeling experience, not a believing experience.
And if your religion is a believing experience, if God for you is still about a belief, then it's not truly God.
Did you hear that? If God for you is still about a belief, then it's not truly God. You have to feel it. Why do you think these churches and these false teachers that go out and they lie to people and they get their money, why do you think they are so successful in doing that? Because of this. People think that you must have the emotional experience. And when you emotionally experience, that is God. That's why they're so successful. Because they are in ignorance. I could tell you, but in mixed company it would be hard to do, but back in the ancient times, and probably even in today also, when they would go to the temple, to a pagan temple, part of that experience was to fornicate with, you could choose a male or a female or an animal. It didn't matter what it was. And that euphoric feeling that they got, they thought was worship, and they thought that is what God truly is. And I'm just trying to parlay into what we have today. It's not to that degree, but that's what so many people want. And this is what Oprah, in her own words, are saying, this is the way it is.
Well, that's 100%, yes. But that's not all. She's entered the political arena by endorsing a candidate for president. The New Age teacher giving lessons on her website, Marianne Williamson, has started an organization called the Peace Alliance to establish a U.S. Department of Peace. What can we do? Spread the word and tell others to open their eyes. Author Carrington Steele uncovers the truth in a new book, Don't Drink the Kool-Aid. Available at csteeleonline.com.
You can Google that if you want to. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. That strike, well, who was that? Jimmy Jones. Jim Jones and the Kool-Aid. I'll tell you what. What she is offering is just as deadly. Those people believe the lie to the extent to where they drank poison Kool-Aid and they died physically. But I'm submitting to you what she is peddling is much more dangerous, much more harmful.
It's time to open your eyes, turn off the TV, and pray.
This is the last one. Christians, it's time to open your eyes, turn off your TVs, and pray. I agree with all that, only I would have added one more thing. Open your Bibles. Go to Bible class. So you can know the truth. There's so many more things that I want to give you. The clock says I have 1 minute left. We did a little more singing today than we normally do because I was trying to stretch it. I don't know if you noticed that or not. So if I go a minute or two long, it'll be all right. At least it is with me. I hope with you. Just one other tidbit here to show you. See, what I'm trying to explain to you is the mindset of the masses have just essentially given up on God, on religion, anything that is absolute. That's why postmodernism is so popular today. Postmodernism is the belief that you can't know anything for sure. And it's very broke. And you know what's behind that? Because if you can't know anything for sure, then you don't have to be held accountable to an Almighty God, do you? Because after all, you can't know that there's a God, you can't know there's a heaven, you can't know there's a hell, and you can't know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who paid for the sins of humanity. Just to show how far off things have gotten. And I could spend literally months of Sundays explaining to you how far off the path we've gotten. And the reason is because people have said no to the first, to the last way of knowing something, which is revelation. And now they're into empiricism, they're into rationalism, they're into mysticism. And it, with devastating consequences. This came from the Berean Call, the last issue. And by the way, I would suggest, if you haven't subscribe to the Berean Call, that you do so. It's free. And you can just get online. I believe it's, where's their website here? www.bereancall.org. That's B-E-R-E-A-N. Oh, it has a V in the front of it. TheBereanCall.org. Anyway, this is a little thing that I thought I would read to you that would give you an idea. This is supposedly, well, I was going to turn it off anyway. This is from, says, news alert, the Los Angeles Times, January the 20th, 08, a few months ago. Episcopalians held an Indian Rite Mass with Hindus and apologized for the past religious discrimination. Hindu I can't even pronounce Pravajaka Saramanda Sarmana, I guess this is the guy's name, dressed in a saffron robe, blew into a conch shell three times, calling to worship Hindu and Episcopal religious leaders who joined Saturday to celebrate an Indian Rite Mass at the St. John's Cathedral near downtown. The rare joint service included chants from the temple Bhajan, a band, and the International Society for Krishna, Confuciousness, and a moving rendition of Bless the Lord, O My Soul, sung by the St. John's Choir. Now, these people, these Episcopalians, claim to be Christians, and their leaders, of course, would do the same. Going on, this is a quote. this once-in-a-lifetime experience in worship service, said Bob Bland, a member of the St. Patrick's Episcopal Church, there was something so holy, so much symbolism, and so many opportunities for meditation. And I bet there was. And probably a lot of demons there too. During the service, the Right Reverend J. John Bruno, Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Los Angeles, issued a statement of apology to the Hindu religious community for centuries-old acts of religious discrimination by Christians, including attempts to convert them. He's apologizing to these Hindus and these Indians for trying to convert them to Christianity. Then he goes on to say, quote, "I believe that the world cannot afford for us to repeat the errors of our past in which we sought to dominate rather than to serve." Bruno said in a statement, quote, "In this spirit and in order to take another step in building trust between our two great religious traditions, I offer a sincere apology to the Hindu religious community." End of quote. The bishop also said he was committed to renouncing proselytizing of Hindus and Swami Sarvanandabhava, whatever it is. I can't, it's a whole sentence long, this word, this name. Vinanta Society of Southern California was among a dozen Hindu leaders honored during the service. He called Bruno's stance a great and courageous step that binds the two communities. By declaring that there will be no more proselytizing, the bishop has opened a new door of understanding. And this guy, Sarvanandabhava, whatever, he said, quote, "The modern religious man must expand his understanding and love of religions and their practices." End of quote. Well, I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to expand my, what's he call it? Understanding of other religions. You know what the difference between Christianity is and every other religion? If you don't, you better find out. Okay, I'll tell you. Some of you already know, maybe some of you don't. Every religion has one thing in common, and that is it is man seeking to gain the approbation or salvation from God based on his own works. Every religion has that in common. And Christianity is different. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ and with God based on the work of Christ on the cross. It's not based on our works, it's based on Christ's works. And it's a gift. It's a free gift. Salvation is a free gift offered to anyone who will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This church, the foundation of this church, is right there on the wall. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And any church that is not built on that has a crooked, weak foundation. That is where this fundamental series is going. We're going to look at what some of the other cults and religions think the answer to those four questions are. I think it helps when you come in contact with, let's say, a Muslim, or a Jehovah's Witness, or a Mormon, or a Hindu, or a Jew. It doesn't matter who they may be. If you know a little bit about something of their background, what they believe, it should help you to actually motivate them to listen to the truth. First principle again is what? You can know the answers to those questions. You can know the truth. And that's where we'll start next time. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time you've given us to focus upon the most fundamental thing. That is, where will we turn, where will we spend our eternity? We are so thankful that you have spelled it out in your word. You have made it exceedingly simple for us to not only understand but accept the good news of Jesus Christ and His work on the cross. We pray that you will help us to prepare ourselves for so much distortion, so much confusion, so much of the lies and duplicity that surrounds us by simply standing firm on your rock, the written word and the living word. And we pray that we will be challenged by these things and that we will be prepared. For we pray it in Christ's most high and holy name.